This is Damir Barla, site editor of SearchSAP.com. This year at TechEd, SAP partnered with Innocentive to tap into open innovation, offering three prizes adding up to $25,000 for anyone who can solve specific development challenges. In this podcast, SAP and Innocentive explain how open innovation is going to help SAP grow its functionality, better access the vast pool of developer skills out in the marketplace, and maybe offer a third way, between in-house and open source, of approaching development.
My name is Mark Yolton. I am the Senior Vice President for SAP's community network, and that includes the SDN community, SAP Developer Network, the Business Process Expert community, which we call BPX, the Business Objects community, and also we have some events in addition to the virtual communities, TechEd and TechTour, and also responsibility for standards management and strategy within SAP. So that means engaging with standards bodies, technology and business and industry standards bodies, and then driving those standards back into SAP. So that's my area of responsibility at SAP. Now, the more interesting thing is this announcement that we've recently made with Innocentive. And so just to give it a little bit of background, our customers face challenges every day in their business environments, in their own competitive marketplaces. And they need technology solutions, and they need those solutions developed and implemented quickly with high quality and at a reasonable cost. And yet they have a great deal of trouble finding the right people with the right skills at the right time that can provide those solutions. And yet we sit on this gold mine of expertise, which is 1.3 million people around the world who are engaged in these SDN, BPX, and business objects communities, who have the expertise and the capability and oftentimes some excess capacity to help our customers solve their business solution or their business challenges with technology solutions. So what we've just recently announced is an agreement and a partnership and a working relationship with Innocentive, whereby we will be working with Innocentive to help our customers and give our customers a place to ask those technology questions, to provide technology challenges, and to source solutions from anywhere within that vast ecosystem of 1.3 million people in 200 countries around the world.
Well said.
David, let me open this up to you. Folks, we have David Ritter, who's the CTO with Innocentive. I'm guessing a lot of our readers may not have heard of you folks, so why don't we, for their benefit, also dig in a little deeper and explain what Innocentive is and what it is that you guys do.
Sure. Innocentive was started about 7 years ago out of Eli Lilly. So Eli Lilly, one of the largest pharma companies in the world, recognized that not all the smartest people in the world worked for them, and they wanted to create a mechanism to reach out to the world and to be able to pose problems and find a way to really leverage this open innovation model, which at that point, about 7 years ago, was pretty radical. But really, over time, this idea has become much more mainstream, and you see leading companies like Procter & Gamble and Dow and others really saying not only that open innovation is interesting and fun, which it is, but also that it's really actually important and core to their competitive advantage, that really being able to tap into the broader market for solutions and to be able to really use the world as a resource is critical for them. And, to the extent that P&G has said that half of their ideas are going to come from outside the company and really making that kind of a corporate mandate. So this is an idea that's matured over time. And so as a result, Innocentive was spun out of Eli Lilly about 3 years ago and has been an independent company since then and has also significantly diversified from our initial focus on problems related to life sciences. We now have a very strong presence in business and entrepreneurship and material science, food science, and a number of other domains, and have always had, I think from our clients, an interest in problems related to information technology and computer science, in many cases in those contexts, so like bioinformatics as a branch of computer science related to life sciences has actually been something that we've been working in for about a year. So it was a very natural step for us, recognizing the thought leadership that SAP has put into developing their communities to take this next step, which is to essentially establish a new way for companies to innovate in computer science and IT in partnership with the SAP ecosystem, which brings a tremendous resource in terms of the solver community, and which brings skills not just specific to SAP, but obviously related to all branches of computer science and IT, and combining that with our existing community of over 160,000 registered solvers in 175 countries to bring a new level of diversity to this discussion. What you find when you're looking at the kind of problems that our clients are looking to solve, a wide range of challenges, that diversity is really one of the key assets that allows these problems to get solved. If you have a chemistry problem, you have 100 chemists looking at it, or you have a computer science problem, you have 100 hardcore computer scientists looking at it, having another 100 computer scientists looking at it may be helpful, but having people from other backgrounds look at the same problem in different ways actually may contribute even more to getting that problem solved. So really, by pooling our resources and working together, we really felt that it was a very natural step for Innocentive and SAP to pioneer this new model and really open up the fields of IT and computer science to this process.
Well, one question I'd like to ask at this point to really both of you is the open source ethos in many ways is against what people consider commercialization, and they're all about making stuff available for free. How do you resolve the tension between sort of having open innovation on the one hand and community on the one hand, and of course SAP as a commercial entity on the other? I mean, how does that get worked out in practice?
Yeah, well, I want to be very clear, and I know Mark, you'll reinforce this as well. This is not open source. This is a way to use the community to solve problems, but in the case where there is a commercial interest in the solution, actually this is a crowdsourcing model, but the solvers are essentially submitting solutions to the seekers, and those solutions are not open source. So in other words, the solvers are not looking at each other's work and enhancing it. That model may make sense in some challenges, particularly in the not-for-profit space. But in the commercial world, this is actually really much more like an innovation competition, where the seekers are looking for particular solutions, the solvers are submitting solutions, the seekers evaluating those. But this is not an open-source software model.
Well, I'm glad that you did amplify that for our readers. Now let's take a deep dive and talk about, I believe it's three specific challenges that are open in the SAP space. What are these challenges?
Well, yeah, I could take that one because I just happen to have it up on my screen. Some of the key things that we're looking for, and as David said, we're looking to get put some challenges out there where the solvers can earn something. Your previous question about open source versus open innovation, this is an open innovation marketplace, but it's not open source answers, not open source solutions. One of the key things that we looked for was in forming a relationship with Innocentive was there's a minimum value of the solutions, and there's a $5,000 minimum. And that's a big difference. There's a big gap between free, open collaboration for free on communities like SDN and BPX and Business Objects Community, and $5,000 as the starting point for a solution through Innocentive. And oh, by the way, that $5,000 goes up to $1 million for some really difficult global challenges, not within the SAP pavilion, but in some broader areas. So the three areas that we've started with include one, which is an ideation challenge, which is more, I would say, marketing, but marketing from a particular point of view. First one is produce a video for the SAP community network. And the video would essentially attract, it's a marketing video in some respects and a training video in others, attract new members to SDN, BPX, and Business Objects communities, but also help them get started as newbies who are just beginning to engage in these communities. It can be daunting. So from a perspective of somebody who knows these communities pretty well, how do you get started? So that's the first thing. Produce a video, 3 to 5 minutes, and that's worth $5,000. A second one is social networking for the enterprise. And it really talks about novel uses of social networking to enhance business applications in corporate computing environments. And the value of that one is $10,000. And a third challenge is titled Unified Heterogeneous Web Service Error Handling. And so SAP here, again, as the seeker who is engaging with some solvers who might come up with some solutions to this challenge, we're looking for a method that simplifies unified web service error handling by consuming applications in multi-vendor service-oriented architecture, in other words, SOA, environments. And so we're looking for solutions that support a variety of web service stack implementations and error schemes in an extendable way. So some of these are, as you can tell, the last two are fairly technical. The first one is sort of a marketing communications kind of a challenge. And they have various price values from $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, I want to point out that these three challenges really represent a great example of the range and diversity and the capability of the model to ask a variety of questions at different levels of detail and granularity and different levels of technical specificity. So this last one, this web services error handling challenge, is obviously, you know, pretty hardcore technical, you know, geek challenge. You know, ranging all the way to the video challenge, which may very well engage, you know, folks that are, you know, have more of a marketing or business background. And so the model is not just specific to extremely particular technology problems. Hmm. And I just also want to point out that since these challenges went up about a week ago, particularly the one on social networking for enterprise applications, well over 500 potential solvers have expressed interest in potentially working on that challenge.
That was going to be my next question, actually, level of interest. And while I'm on that, let me ask about judging. Certainly that's something people will want to know about if they're going to put their, you know, time and effort, put themselves out there. How, and you get multiple solutions, of course. What are the judging criteria going to be like?
The judging criteria really gets set by the seeker. So in this model, we have seekers and solvers. And the person or organization that posts the challenge provides the judging. So one important thing to note is that although SAP is sponsoring this pavilion, we're not engaged in reviewing the challenges before they're posted. We're not engaged in reviewing potential solutions. We're not engaged in choosing and selecting the winning solution. It's really completely up to the seeker and the solver to come to an agreement on which solution fits the model, which solution fits their challenge and their business requirements, and then with an incentive facilitating the transfer of intellectual property to make sure that that transfer happens properly.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the challenges that SAP is running, that are the current challenges in the pavilion, SAP is the seeker in those cases. So SAP will be evaluating the solutions.
Exactly.
For the SAP sponsored challenges. But the pavilion is not just for SAP. It's for SAP's customers and ecosystem members and really any company that has a problem in the IT or computer science domain that may be related. So in those cases, the individual seeker companies will be evaluating the solutions. If you go on the website and you click through, there's a high-level description of the challenge. If you click through to the details for each challenge, there are quite specific criteria that will hopefully make it very clear to the solver exactly, you know, what is the basis on which the proposed solutions are going to be judged. So there are pretty extensive details provided there, and you also have the opportunity on the website to be able to ask questions related to the challenge, and Innocentive will deal with ensuring that if there is clarification required for the solvers, that additional information can be provided.
Okay. Mark, let me ask you a question. How does this balance out sort of internal sort of entrepreneurial development? I mean, I think it's Google that encourages its employees to spend whatever 5% of their time trying to develop things that, you know, can be folded back into Google. Is there stuff also going on in SAP labs and sort of other stuff internally to solicit, you know, this kind of innovation, or is it right now just externally focused?
Oh, no, absolutely. We have an entire organization called SAP Labs that does product development, research, and engaged with the university communities and so on. So there are entire organizations that are dealing with innovation within SAP. Of course, our product organizations, product development, product management, are dealing with innovation every day. So there's constant innovation and a very considerable investment in ongoing innovation within SAP. This becomes a way for us to open it up a little bit. We all have budgets to deal with, and our customers do too. And we may have a list of 20 things that we would love to develop, but only budget for 10. So we may use this incentive platform as a way to do a couple things. Number one, we may chunk out pieces of, let's say, priority 1, 2, and 3 and put them out there for the open ecosystem to give us ideas. But we may only have enough budget to do 1 through 10, and we may put question number 11 or question number 12 out there and say, you know what, we may be able to spend a smaller amount of money than if we had done it internally, but we may be able to get a good enough return on that investment that we are able to deliver, let's say, 12 new innovations instead of the 10 that we have budget to develop ourselves. So this becomes an extension of our own capabilities within SAP, and we'll certainly keep innovating within, but we also understand that there are 1.3 million very smart people out there who are interested in helping us extend our understanding or extend our solution capability.
Mm-hmm. So in this regard, is it also, it's going to be ongoing? I know there are these three specific challenges, and that's what's going to draw attention, but within terms of this partnership, people should then expect there to be sort of a flow of these challenges then?
Yes. This is only the beginning. We are already engaged with several organizations within SAP who are interested in posting challenges and are now working to make sure that they get the wording correct. We're also expecting that our customers will post challenges here and that our partners will do so as well. So all of that is very much acceptable and encouraged. The key thing that we're looking here to do is this will be an ongoing innovation platform, and it's a way for us to engage our SAP community and also to engage beyond our SAP community to adjacent areas of expertise.
Well, that sounds excellent. It sounds like a very exciting opportunity, and I'm sure many of our readers are going to be interested. So with that, gentlemen, I'd like to ask you if there's anything you'd like to add quickly. Is there something that you feel we should emphasize that we haven't, or is this good enough?
David, you go.
I think one thing to just mention is that the model is proven. As I said, it's been around for about 7 years. We have in excess of a 30% solve rate on the challenges that are out there, that have been out there over the course of the last 7 years. We've awarded over $3 million in prize money. And we have a 99%+ success rate on transferring the IP, the intellectual property. So as a seeker company, you should feel confident, as a potential seeker company, you should feel confident that you're working with an organization and in a model that really has a proven track record, not only of being able to make it work, but also of really producing economic value out of this process.
And just the last word from my side as well is to talk about the benefit and what we're hoping to accomplish here. We really think this is a winning combination between SAP, Innocentive, and our vast community. Number one, we're looking to help customers solve their business and their IT challenges faster, cheaper, and with proven experts. Number two, we're looking to help those existing experts in our ecosystem, those community members, forge business relationships and to earn some money while they tighten their connections with SAP and our customers. And we're also working to help SAP increase the customer use of our systems to promote co-innovation and really to improve customer satisfaction with our products by finding innovative ways to use them. And the bottom line for us is to elevate and accelerate the entire ecosystem so that we can all be best-run businesses.
Thanks for listening along to our podcast with SAP's Mark Yolton and Innocentive's David Ritter. We encourage you to take a crack at the $25,000 in prizes and let us know if you win.